Praise God. If you will, open up to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God and what it means to us. It means everything to us, Father. And so, Father, it is our bread from heaven and we live by it. We have to eat of it every day, Father, because it adds strength and nourishment to our right standing with you. And Father, we thank you so much for resurrection, because your resurrection meant our victory. Hallelujah, and we thank you for it. And so this morning, Father, as I share the word, not only to those that are in the presence, but those that are watching by live stream, I pray that whatever I share with them will be an encouragement, will give them strength, and will add to their faith how important it is to be in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, I want to deal with the subject of faith. As a pastor of the church, I was surprised at some of the responses that I've gotten from people that have been sitting under the word for quite a while. And this is not a getting on the side of you that I want to kick you in the rear. But I want to share a message that I feel that God really wants you to get a hold of. It's very important. And the reason that it is so important is because of the time period that we're living in. A lot of people don't really grasp the understanding of the time frame that we're living in. And so I want to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, because he's such a critical part to understanding the growth of our faith. And there's a reason why Jesus said what he said when it came to promoting the Holy Spirit just before he actually had to face Calvary. He promoted the Holy Spirit more than any other issue. And so we find it in John chapter 14. Let's go to verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now look at this. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now notice what he said, the greater works. Well, you're not going to do any greater works than Jesus performed. So what did he mean by the greater works? When Tony Cook was sharing this one time, boy, something quickened in my spirit. I bear witness to what he said. And he said that when Jesus was talking about the greater works, he was talking about geographically. In other words, Jesus' works will have a greater area that would be performed. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Jesus' ministry never went beyond 72 miles. So he's saying, because I'm going to the Father, something is going to happen when you believe in me. He says the greater works, meaning geographically, the area is going to open up as to where these works are going to be performed. Then the second thing was numerically. how many works would be performed. It would be well beyond what Jesus performed. Not what Jesus did, but performance. And then the last thing, he said spiritually. There would be a spiritual awakening. And then, of course, the last would be the scope of the greater works. This word for works is the word ergon, which literally means that he's going to equip the church with what is necessary to perform the vocation that is needed to promote the gospel. Now, in spite of these ministers who are false teachers, and some of them, they don't mean to be, but they do add a falseness to it through doctrines of cessations, a ceasing, such as the gifts of the Spirit or speaking in tongues. And so they come up with doctrines that they've ceased, and there is no such thing. They go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and say, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part was to be done away with. Well, the word for perfect there is very interesting. I never bought into that kind of doctrine that he was referring to the gifts being done away with or speaking in tongues. I never bought into that because the greater works must continue throughout the duration of the church age. And so the word perfect, understanding the Greek language to a certain degree, I'm not no scholar, but to a certain degree, I looked up the word perfect there, and it has nothing to do with parousia, meaning the presence of God. This word for perfect here is a word telos, which literally means to make full or to promote the goal that is necessary to mature somebody. It has nothing to do with talking about when the Lord returns. And I've got news for you. As far as this ministry is concerned, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is an absolute must. Now, I don't know what dummy came up with the fact that tongues have ceased is beyond me. But I'm going to tell you something. Has the devil ceased to speak to people? Then I got news for you. If I can sit and watch a demon-possessed homeless person sitting there and speaking out all these crazy words, he's listening to a voice that's within him. And you know that voice comes from the powers of darkness. And then the church is going to come up with the fact that on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you're going to tell me that somebody's going to come up with a situation that we no longer need tongues? Well, I got news for you. First of all, who speaks in tongues? Who is it that speaks in tongues? You do. Okay, then if you're the tongue talker, then who is speaking in tongues? Is it the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues through you? No. It is you speaking in tongues as the Spirit down on the inside of you gives you the utterance. You know what that means? It means you're going to hear something down on the inside of you, and you're going to let it come out your mouth. And guess what? It's called the language of your born-again spirit. And you know what that language is designed for? To speak directly to God. To speak to God. You mean to tell me when I got born again and I got filled with the Holy Ghost that all of a sudden I have an avenue to talk to God on my own by the help of the Holy Spirit giving me what I need to speak out of my mouth. A language that my intellect does not understand. Do you know that we have an intellectual sickness going on today in the body of Christ? And so I let that language just roll out of me. Why? Because I'm hearing an utterance down on the inside of me that I don't understand with my intellect, but I know that this language is a direct line to talk to my Heavenly Father. And people, you need to understand, the Holy Spirit did not come to do your business. He came to assist you to do His business. And we got to get a hold of that. Because he goes on and says, he does not speak on his own initiative. It means that whatever the Holy Spirit hears, that is what he's going to speak. What? Speak out of you? Yes, speak out of your spirit. You've got to be willing to surrender your inner man. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when you get too spiritual, you know, you're no earthly good. I'm going to tell you something. That is a statement that came out of the pit of hell. I'll tell you what. I am so spiritually minded now. People, I got news for you. I can be some earthly good. Because if I'm spiritually in tune with God, I'm going to do righteousness. I'm going to think righteousness. I'm going to have the love of God work in my heart for you. We need to be careful how we talk about the things of the Spirit. Because they're the things that will really solidify us. But he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Well, why would he say not leave you as an orphan? Well, that means that you've been put into his family. And he's not going to abandon his children. That's a problem we got today. People produce children and they don't raise them. God produces children and he raises them. Now, when he said, the Holy Spirit will be your helper, he said, when I send him in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Uh-oh. We're not to let anything be afraid, create fear in us. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. Now, the thing that people seem to forget is verse 29. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. When it comes. What do you think he was referring to there? When it comes. When it comes, who do you think he was referring to there? He was referring to the Holy Spirit. When he comes. Come to be present. Cometh. To come upon a specific time. An event. He was referring to the inception of the church. Over in Matthew 16, he said, whom do men say that I am? Some say thou, some say this, some say that. Then he said, but whom do you say I? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, no one has revealed this to you but my Father which is in heaven. And he says, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates or the government structure of Satan cannot prevail or overcome it. Do you know Satan is really trying to divide us from God's anointing? Did you get that? And he'll do anything he can to put fear in our hearts to divide us. But I got news for you. I got the ability to be able to hear that inward utterance. And once I hear it, I can speak it. Put a badge on my chest. Thank you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our. Hey! Let's do it again. We got one guy out of this. Let's do it again. Wherefore, the apostle and high priest of our what?
Confession.
Our confession. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. In all his house. Now watch this. For this one had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. He's referring to Christ. Now watch this. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Why did he say that? Because all as Moses could build was the house. But God, through Christ, built a different house. He built a different house. He built a different house. Watch this. For every house is built by someone, but he, having prepared all things, is God. He who built all things is God. That's why the translator, but in the Greek it says, having prepared all things is God. Having prepared all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken, and it got afterwards, which in the Greek it says, which would be spoken, being spoken of in the future. Now, what in the world is he saying there? Well, let's hold our place here. We're going to come right back here, but I'm going to show you something about how important it is to understand what it means to enter into the kingdom of God through the birthing of the Holy Spirit within our heart. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the language of the Holy Spirit. Say it. Thank God for the language of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Now, with that thought in mind, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians I need to get used to a telephone that where I can switch over all them little Bible things, you know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, remember we covered last week about Moses when he went up the mountain and he got into the presence of God and he got a glow on. Some people said when he came down from the mountain, he had bolts of lightning emanating from his face. But he noticed something by being in the presence of God that he had total control over stiff-necked people. Because they would see the glory of the Lord all over him and it shudder. Oh, he was with God. And so when he noticed that he had control of the people because he had a glow on, he noticed that the glow was dimming. So he put a veil on his face and he ran up to the mountain again. And he removed the veil and talked face to face with God. And got a glow on again. And came down off the mountain. And the people could see the glory of the Lord. Oh, he was with God. And when Moses spoke, they responded. But when the glow was getting dimmer, he veiled himself and ran up in the mountain again. Isn't it funny how types and shadows of the Old Testament really tell us something? We need to take note of what it's doing. It's giving us a type and a shadow. But people, you and I are more glorious than that because we don't have a veil. Why? Because the glory that he enjoyed, Jesus said, would come and get on the inside of you. And illuminate your inner man. But in order for him to do that, you know what you have to do? You have to do something with your outer man. And so, let's read here now. Let's go to verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 3. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness succeeds much more in glory. You want to know why? Because all as it did was deal with them according to the flesh. But Christ over us does not deal with us through the flesh. He deals with us through our born again spirit. The spirit that was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Birthed in us. You know what? I told you, and I want everyone to hear this very plainly. And those that are watching by live stream, get a hold of this. There are three doctrines that are found only in the New Testament. Only three doctrines. And you've got to get a hold of these three doctrines. They've got to be clear in your understanding of Scripture. Number one, the crucifixion, the cross. You have to understand that you were co-crucified with him. What does that mean? It means your outer man, once you received Jesus, your outer man then took a position with Christ on the cross, and you were co-crucified with him, which literally means the number one thing you've got to remember is your outward man no longer should have any authority over God's word when the Holy Spirit is at work within you. Period, over and out. I'm going to tell you something. The minute I activate my faith by the Spirit, my outward man automatically has a voice against it. Why? Because he's stupid. He's dumb. He only knows what he was raised in, and that was this natural world. But I have good ground now in me. And the seed of God's word, I can plant it deliberately in my spirit and get wheat, not tares. Glory to God. Glory to God. And when the evil day comes, I've got something solid to work with. Not a hope, but a faith that is anchored on a completed hope that was in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I feel bold. I don't know about you, but I have a more glorious victory in my life than even Moses had. And where did I get this? Well, let's read on here. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. When you got born again, you're stuck. Therefore, since we have such hope, therefore, we have such hope. This is the hope of the completed work in Christ. We use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. The glory was starting to fade. But their minds, follow this, but their minds were hardened, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. You know what that means? It's not like the Old Testament. They had to have somebody over them to relate to them the word. Now God moved into my heart and removed, he did something to remove the outer veil so that I could communicate with him face to face. Somebody said, okay, what's face to face? I said, you want me to show you how I communicate with him face to face? Well, it would help. The Holy Ghost has given me this utterance right now. Don't mind. What does this mean here in Scripture? Oh, it comes back on me. I know what it's saying. The thing is, I got this natural mind to deal with. Wouldn't that have been nice if we got born again and God came down and removed our physical brain so that only the spiritual brain remains? I know all things. I'm omniscient. Why? How are you omniscient? I no longer have a veil over my brain. Problem is, we got the brain that remains. Thank God for that, because we got to be able to communicate. Hey, I'm here, guys. Hey, you here? But I'll tell you what, when I was co-crucified, that outward mind that I grew up with is no longer my authority. And you know, this outward mind will do everything it can to keep its passion, to keep its lust, to keep its desire. Anything that you would deny him is hard on him, because you are stopping his progression. That's what makes our faith strong. Watch this. For their minds were hardened until this day. The same veil. Why did he say their minds were hardened? Because your physical mind is not subject to God. It has to be purged. And we got Christians running around saying, renew it. How are you going to renew something that's not renewable? What you have to do is you have to, what? The kingdom of God suffereth violent, but violent men take it by force. You have to go after it. Everything within you, you have to go after it. Remember what I told you about the renewing of the mind? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Remember I told you, it never dawned on me until I was reading in the Greek one day, and I went, oh my gosh, I missed it altogether. I thought it was talking about how I grew. But it was talking about how you approach the Word of God to make a change in the way you think. That's different. It's different, people. When I said prove here to test, this is what we are supposed to have in our thinking when we go to step out on the Word of God. I'm going to test this Word with the expectation of improving it. In order to approve it. How many Christians say, well, we're going to go ahead and try faith. You know what? If you're going to try faith, you're going to lose. You're going to be self-deceived. But you've got to approach testing God's word with the expectation that it's going to work for you. You got to make your mind up. I like this one. The good and acceptable and perfect will. Remember what I said about good? It means a putting forth of the best of your ability to do that. Most Christians, well, I don't know what I mean. Yeah, I'll try. People, where are we at? I'm going to tell you where we're at. You want to get fired up for God? Start getting that tongue going. Start speaking in tongues. Your human spirit, you're permitting it to communicate with God. I got news for you. We have no business being under a leader that is veiled. You got to be under a leader who is unveiled. One person said, well, the veiling was the law. The veiling is the nature that mankind is born into, and it has to be removed. Well, how do you remove it? The cross. That's why the doctrine of the cross and being co-crucified is so important for us to understand. Why? Because then you cannot see what it means to be born again. The position our spirit is declared once we're co-crucified. And the only way all this is going to happen to you people is the third thing you've got to know is the operation of the Holy Spirit within you. And I got news for you. The Holy Spirit will not say one word. Not say one word until you speak to God. I like this. And. It's a collective word. It's a word that connects the other word. Couplative. It means a joining of words with others that you cannot exempt. You cannot exempt because you can't have the one without the other. If you're going to prove what is good, then you have to understand what is acceptable. And if you understand what is acceptable, then you have to understand what brings you to maturity. And if you know what brings you to maturity, then you'll find the perfect will of God. This word perfect here is the same word you find over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. That is the whole essence of the gifts of the Spirit, is to impart to you personally for your own life, partially. He gives you a little prophecy. He gives you a little word. He gives you this. He gives you that. Till you come into the complete fullness of what He's called you to do. I'm going to tell you something, people. You may look at yourself one way, but God looks at you totally different. God gave us His Word. Can I hear an amen? God gave us His Word. Did you know that this Word that He gave us, New Testament, not Old Testament, New Testament, it was moved upon by holy men who were filled with the Holy Ghost, and therefore this Scripture was not of any private interpretation. It was all meant for your glorification. I got to watch my time here. Glory. Nevertheless, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 3. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When the one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What does that mean? You're born again. Well, what does that mean? You're born. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what James was talking about your faith. He says, well, God will give you a word, but if you don't believe what He gave you, then you won't follow with works. It's just nothing but ear. It's just nothing but information that has gone from here to here, not here. How do you think Adam fell into the transgression that he fell into? The Bible says he was not deceived. It's very interesting. That one I struggled with for a while. Well, if he wasn't deceived, why did he do what he did, like so many of us do today? We go right around what God said, and we take the opinion of somebody else. Go right around God to listen to Eve. So where did that put Adam? Where did that put him? If he wasn't deceived, where did it put him? He was not deceived. If he was not deceived, why did he do what he did? Because he was what James said, self-deceived. He wasn't deceived by an outside source. He was deceived by an inside source. Do you know something? Every time God shows you His word to give you an answer, do you know what? You're either going to receive it or you're not going to receive it. There's going to be another voice that's going to come into your life and begin to speak right away. And you're going to sit there and tell me that tongues have been done away with when I need it? How ridiculous. How stupid. The perfect will of God means the determined resolve that cannot change or needs adding to it of God. It means once you come to the complete understanding of His word, nothing can move you. You're solid. Our hope is anchored in Him. Hope, not future hope. I'm talking about aorist hope. The hope that was established in Christ is perfect tense. It'll come right up to where I'm presently, and it'll take care of the future for me. I don't know about you, but I'm sure happy about that. Every day, I got news for you. Every day you get up, you always hear, oh, this is a day the Lord has made. Oh, really? You think Satan's not going to be around? Somebody said, I'm going to believe I ain't got COVID. And then they call me, why did I get it? Because I never had that mindset. I know that I'm living in a fallen world. Anything can happen to me. But I got news for you. Even though I go through the fire, I ain't even going to smell like smoke. And though I go through the water, He didn't say, you ain't going to go through the fire. You ain't going through the water. If that was the case, then I would ask the question, why did I get COVID? I told this one man, I said, I never thought that way. I knew I could get COVID, but I don't have to worry about coming out of it. Oh, I never. Whoa, where's your faith? I said, it has nothing to do with faith. It has everything to do with living in a fallen world. When do I think, just because God said that if you stumble, if you fall down, His angels would give charge over you and keep you upheld? Then why did Satan use that on Jesus and Jesus not do it? Oh, I can go ahead and jump off. No, Jesus turned to him and said, don't you tempt. You know, a lot of us as Christians, we got to be careful how we identify our faith. Are we tempting God with our faith? We don't have no responsibility. We don't need no wisdom. We can just faith it away if we make mistakes. God told me, He says, so many of my people need healing, divine healing. But so many of them don't know how to appropriate it. Because they have plan B. And there's nothing wrong with plan B as long as you're being led by plan B. But I got news for you. There's only one voice that you can rely on, and that's what God tells you through His word. That's the only voice you should rely on. So trouble us, we open our ears up to too many other people and there are too many other sayings. We need to keep right on the Word of God and keep our focus right there. Now, what does this mean? Well, if I don't understand it, you know what God told me to do? If you don't understand Scripture, start speaking in tongues. And He says, that draws the mysteries out of me, the hidden things that can't come from man. Wow. You mean speaking in tongues is the only way I can draw divine wisdom? Absolutely. Most of us believers are living off of natural wisdom, and we call that godly wisdom. I'll tell you what, godly wisdom has nothing to do with natural wisdom. If that was the case, He would have never given us a tongue on Pentecost. It is a tongue of the learned. That Jesus, God said in Isaiah 28, He said, there's going to be a pure language that's going to come that's going to be able to put line upon line, precept upon precept. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. But He said, there are those who's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept, and fall and go back and be snared and taken. Why were they fell back and be snared? Because all of that teaching about speaking in tongues, they would not hear it. Well, When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, me and Sue, I must admit it took me 2 weeks to determine whether or not it was just gibberish. But after 2 weeks of doing it, I did it anyway. But the birds of the air tried to snatch it from me. And I said, I ain't going to pay attention to it. And I had to make a decision. What that guy told me in the park is true. That was those born-again hippies back in the 70s. I went to him and I said, say, I understand you speak in tongues. Sure do. Gosh, I love that guy. Can't hardly wait to see him again. And I says, well, what does it do for you? He turned to me and he says, brother, that is a direct line to God. You mean like a personal line? Yeah. You just pick up the phone and talk directly to him. But somebody said they passed him. I farted on that one. All I knew is that when I speak in tongues, I got a direct line to God. Guess what? My natural mind is left dumb. You know, like David Ingalls sing, when you're speaking in that heavenly language, my natural mind is left dumb. I like some of his music. It's really cool. So when you get into the Word of God, it's so cool because God will show you how to rightly divide it so you live in the proper place that you're supposed to live in. Amen? And so I said all to say this, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Real quick, like, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 again. I want to go back there. Hebrews chapter 3. It says that he does not speak on his own initiative. The Holy Spirit will not. Now notice what he says. But Christ as a son, verse 6. As a son over his what? Hey, say it real loud. Christ over his own house. Whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Do you know what? Over in John chapter 10, it says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he's going to speak. And I told you, we were doing that series on Wednesday nights about hearing God's voice. And I says, what he's going to do is he's going to give you the utterance that is necessary for you to speak out in tongues. He'll do that. Today, if you will hear his voice. He didn't say, today, if you will let him speak through you. He said, today, if you hear his voice. You know what that means? It means it's now in your hands to do what? To rhema, not logos, rhema, speak what he logosed to you. Boy, I love it. Sometimes a lot of times I'll just go into my prayer closet and just give myself an hour or even 2 hours just to the Holy Ghost. My mind wants to kick in there and interrupt me, but I've learned that he's going to wander all over the place. I mean, your natural mind is going to get so fed up with you walking around talking in a language he doesn't understand. He's going to start reminding you, have you checked to make sure that you dumped the garbage? Have you made sure that you've got bananas? You know, on our we always make sure that we have bananas in the house. Your natural mind is the most dumbest thing. It goes on a walk, but he's by himself, I guarantee it. And I just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. One time he said, after you went to the bathroom, did you put the toilet seat down? That's how stupid you can be when it comes to your natural mind. When you go for a walk in the Holy Spirit, your natural mind has to go with you. And he gets fed up with that after a while. Oh, he gets a real thrill out of it first. But when he goes down the road of time, he's going to find out he really ain't getting anything out of it. All he does is when some enlightenment comes to your spiritual mind, all of a sudden he has to conform to it. He's purged from that way of thinking. Amen. Amen. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. He says it several times through this whole chapter. Today, if you will hear His voice. You know what He'll do? If you hear His voice, you know what it says it goes into? When you hear His voice, you go into a rest. You just don't care. No, it ain't that you don't care. It's just you enter into a rest. Maxine, was it Maxine? Said she learned how to get out of the way and let God be God. Sometimes we hang on and we struggle and we fight and we don't realize what a mess we're going to get into. But no, we need all of the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of it. We don't need bad doctrine. We need pure doctrine. We need the Holy Ghost. He's the one that put the scriptures down here. He's the one that put these scriptures here through these men. Wasn't of any private interpretation, meaning they didn't come up with any revelation. It was the Holy Spirit that was working in their hearts to lay it out for us. Well, if the Old Testament was sufficient, why did he even bother with the New? Did you know that the word for pneumatikos is a word that you only find in the epistles? You know what pneumatikos means? It means one who is born of the Spirit and the nature. It means when you got born again, you not only received a rebirthing of your spirit, it came with its nature. It's the ground called good ground that his seed goes right into it. I gotta shut up. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And I thank you for those that are listening by live stream. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, Jesus is the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. He's called the second Adam. He's called the second Adam. You know why we get in the way? Because our outer man still tries to control us. It's our outer man that doesn't know how to take care of itself. You know what? You don't even need the Holy Ghost to speak to you how to take care of your outer man. Just go to the book of Proverbs. You don't need a revelation of how to take care of yourself. Just go to the book of Proverbs and Proverbs will tell you. But I know one thing. You have to understand what it means to be born again. You have to understand what it means to be co-crucified. I know when I looked at that movie, The Passion, for those that are watching by live stream, I was looking at that word, that movie, Passion, and I began to weep for what Jesus did for me. And I'll never forget what Jesus told me. He said, "Why are you weeping over your own deaths?" And I went, "What?" He says, "Why are you weeping over your own death?" And I said, "Well, Jesus went to the cross in pain." He says, "He went there for you. He was put to death because of your need." What was my need? I need to be resurrected to newness of life. And he says, "You're seeing it from your viewpoint," which is all right. But he says, "If you see it from my viewpoint, you were crucified on the cross, not my son." Why would God have such pleasure in watching his son be crucified on the cross when he says that over in Isaiah 53? Because he wasn't pouring his wrath out on his son. He was pouring his wrath out on humanity so that everyone then could benefit from the second Adam. Isn't that glorious that God would do that? And isn't that glorious that Jesus would be willing to do that? Then you should benefit from it. Don't let him die in vain. You take the death with him. Father, I'm going to shut up now. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just feel like kicking the devil in the... Father, I have sensed that there's somebody out there. It's a young lady. And you have just received, you've been watching our message, our show, and this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that you and your husband have just received a bad report concerning one of your children. And the Lord wants me to tell you that if you would just reach out and believe me and believe that I would heal your child, I will heal that which is impossible, says the Lord. I will heal your little child, for I am a good God and I want her healed just as bad as you. But you need to use your faith and let me work and do the rest, saith the Lord. And then rejoice. Even before you see it, rejoice and be happy, for I am a good God. And I know what you're going through and you've served me. You and your husband have served me faithfully. And you've been good believers. And I want to reward you with this crisis being removed from your life. Reach out and receive me as your healer, saith the Lord. Now as we close, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then make sure you get a hold of somebody that knows about the baptism. Don't get a hold of a naysayer. Get a hold of somebody that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost and have them help you to receive. Hallelujah. It is so important. Your life needs to change. Hallelujah. All of us need a change of life. We need newness of life. And so if you're listening and you've never done it, it is so simple. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I deny my old life and I pick up the new life. Even though I don't understand it, Father, I know that you'll lead me to the complete understanding of it. Hallelujah. And that's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. We love you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit. He is so precious to us. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the new birth. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for speaking in tongues. It energizes. It strengthens us. It builds our most holy faith. Stand up, everybody. Again, I want to remind you, if you do want to leave a gift for Myrna, we'll be glad that we'll see to it that she gets it. Get one of those little envelopes. And fill it out and just mark on there for John. Be appreciated. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you, whoever was listening, they received it. And Father, we look forward to the victories that are ahead for by His Word. We look forward to the victories that are ahead for the church and the church age. Father, we ask that you raise up mighty men of power. Raise them up, just like you did those in California that are moving in revival right now. Father, just blow the roof off of that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even bring the governor of that state to salvation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. And may everyone who came this morning be blessed as they go their way in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.